Good afternoon and welcome everyone to our conference call to discuss the first half 2022 results and the July 2022 NAV developments. Johan Meyer, CEO of Franklin Templeton International Services Bucharest Branch as Fund Manager of Fondul Proprietatea, Cătălin Cadaru, Head of Financial Reporting, and I are pleased to host today's call. The H1 2022 results report can be found on the fund website in the financial results section. The presentation that we will be discussing shortly was also sent out to you earlier today. The slides are also available on our website at www.fondoproprietatea.ro in the investor relations calls section. After the presentation, we will have a 30-minute Q&A session. As a reminder to everyone, the call is being recorded. The recording will be made available on our website after the call. That being the agenda, I turn to Johan to start off with the presentation.
Thank you, Marius, and welcome to all investors and other participants, and thank you for joining us this afternoon or this morning, depending on where you are. I'll start with slide two of the presentation, where we highlight the key facts about the fund. At the end of July, the NAV was 16.3 billion RON, or $3.4 billion, and the NAV per share reached 2.82 RON, or 58 US cents. On the right-hand side, you can see the evolution of the fund's adjusted share price and also the discount or premium since the fund listing in January 2011. As of yesterday's close, the fund was trading at a discount of 30.3% for the shares and 30.7% for the GDRs. Moving on to slide three, we show the fund's shareholder structure as at the end of July 2022, highlighting no major changes since the last conference call. Regarding the largest shareholders of the fund, it's worth reminding you that on the 7th of July 2022, Silverpoint Capital Fund submitted an updated ownership disclosure, according to which their shareholding is 8.8% of the total voting rights of the fund. Moving on to slide four, we show a summary of the net asset value, the share price, and the GDR performance since 2011, and the evolution of the fund's average annual discount on the Bucharest and London stock exchanges. The NAV total return in the first half of the year was 28.9%, and the total return for local shares was 13.3%. And the total return for the GDR is 4.9%. Year to date, the net asset value total return was 30.7%. The total return for local shares was 9%, and for the GDRs was negative 2.8%. Moving on to slides 5 and 6, we show the contributors to the fund's NAV performance for the second quarter and for the first 6 months of the year. The second quarter, on slide 5, the top performer was primarily Hidroelectrica, following an update of the company's valuation, with OMV in second place, thanks to strong share price performance in the quarter, followed by unlisted Salrom, Bucharest Airports and Constanța Ports, which, like in Hidroelectrica's case, the valuations were updated. The detracting performance during the quarter were the companies in the gas and electricity distribution sector, NG and the NL distribution companies, as well as the listed aluminium producer, Oro. The overall performance for the NAV was plus 18.5%. For the six-month period, the performance was a result of the updated valuation reports, Hidroelectrica, Salrom, Bucharest Airports, and Constanța Port. The bottom performers in the first half were OMV Petrom and the gas and electricity distribution companies, NG and NL, and the NL distribution companies. The overall first half performance of the NAV was plus 23%. Of course, as always, the fund will continue to closely monitor the evolution of the financial markets and the specific industries in which the unlisted holdings operate for each NAV reporting date. And of course, if necessary, an update of the multiples analysis will be prepared and the valuation of the unlisted holdings updated accordingly. In the next section, we'll give an update on the fund's portfolio. So going to slide 8, we show the portfolio structure as at the end of July. 92% in unlisted companies, 6% in listed, and 2% in net cash and receivables. The net cash and receivable position at 31 July was $67.7 million. On slide 9, we show the top 10 portfolio companies, which represents almost 97% of the fund's NAV, with Hidroelectrica representing over 77% of the fund's net asset value. On slide 10, we show a summary of the first half 22 financial results for the main portfolio companies, that released preliminary figures for this period. As you can see, the performance improved year on year, and I will elaborate a little bit more on these figures in the following slides. On slide 11, we provide some updates on Hidroelectrica. So these are figures according to the management. In the first 6 months of the year, the company reflected these results compared to the same period in 2021. Turnover of 4.7 billion RON, an increase of almost 48%. EBITDA of 3.4 billion RON, an increase of 41.5%. And a net profit of 2.6 billion RON, up 56%. During the period, the total electricity sold was 7.5 terawatt hour, which is a decrease from 10.5 terawatt hour in the first half of 2021, out of which electricity sold out of own production was 7.2 terawatt hours, a decrease of 29.1% year on year. The average realized electricity selling price was 577.7 RON per megawatt hour, an increase of 103.8% year on year. At the end of June 22, the company's cash and equivalents stood at 3.35 billion RON. Now, moving on to an update regarding the preparations for an IPO. As you may recall, on the 31st of March this year, shareholders approved the initiation of the listing procedures for the company's shares on the Bucharest Stock Exchange, following a secondary public offering of the company shares held by Fondul. Hidroelectrica appointed STJ Advisors as its equity advisor and Dentons as legal advisors for the transaction. Fonds Proprietatea has appointed Rothschild & Co. as its equity advisor and Philip & Associates and Linklaters as legal advisors for the transaction. The appointment by Fondul of the syndicate banks is currently ongoing, and we will update the market once the process is finalized. Regarding the timing of the transaction, we aim to finalize the IPO by no later than the first quarter of 2023, obviously at the soonest and most appropriate opportunity. Moving on to slide 12, we present the main updates regarding OMV Petrom, the fund's second largest holding. The first half of 22, increase in consolidated sales revenues of 153%, mainly thanks to higher prices and volumes sold of petroleum products and electricity. The operating CCS operating result increased to 5.9 billion RON compared to 1.5 billion in the first half of 2021. This is a result of strong performance across all business segments, leading to a net result of 4.6 billion RON compared to just below 1 billion in the same period for the previous year. Highlights regarding the Neptune Deep project: offshore law was approved by the Parliament, and according to OMV Petrom management, the final investment decision for the project is expected in the first half of next year, and the transfer of the operatorship to OMV Petrom is expected in Q3 of 2022. Of course, Romgaz is finalizing in July 22 the acquisition of the Exxon Mobil Romania shares, in other words, the 50% stake in the Neptune Deep project. Other highlights there worth mentioning: the gross dividend distribution of 4.5 cents that was approved in July 2022, with Fondul receiving 76 million RON as a result of this distribution, and also the share capital increase based on the value of land valuation of 121 million RON and a maximum of 464 million, representing the cash subscription of other shareholders. Moving on to slide 13. Some updates on Bucharest Airports. Of course, thanks to the resumption of acceleration of travel in the region, we have a markedly improved financial results in the first 6 months of 22. The number of passengers transiting the terminals reached 5.4 million, a 2.8 times increase from the previous year, but still 21% below pre-COVID levels. Management budgeted traffic to to increase by 40% year-on-year in 22 to 9.7 million passengers, and this results in an estimated net profit of 56.5 million RON. However, the realized figures are significantly above this budgeted level. There are no further updates regarding the Băneasa Airport share capital increase. As a reminder, following the 13th of January 22 hearing, the Bucharest Court of Appeal admitted the fund's request for the suspension of the shareholder meeting decision regarding share capital increase and ordered the suspension of the effects of the share capital increase until the claim for the annulment is irrevocably settled. The claim for the annulment is not expected to irrevocably settled during 22, and as the first hearing was postponed to the 8th of September of this year. Moving on to slide 14, we show the latest operational figures for Constanța Port. First half 22 results indicate flat performance despite higher revenues due to higher cost for utilities, which is generally passed through to operators. So the traffic increased by 17% year-on-year to 37.5 million tons on the back of higher volumes of crude oil, other petroleum products, cereals, and iron ore. Almost half of the incremental increase in volumes was linked to Ukraine. However, increased revenues from services rendered to ships were eroded by a decline in rental revenues due to the expiration of a beneficial clause for one of the largest clients. Regarding the exposure to geopolitical events, according to the company's management, volumes from Ukraine increased from 0.15 million tons in the first half to 2.5 million tons in the first half of 2022. Slide 15. We show some updates on Salrom. Operating profit and net income increased by over 60% in the first 6 months of the year compared to the same period in 21. Then on the IPO preparations, last month the government approved the memorandum for supporting the listing of Salrom, which is a key milestone in the listing process of the company. Fondu has appointed the BRD as investment bank and as legal advisor, Dentons, that will be involved in the preparation of prospectus and the listing of Salrom on the Bucharest Stock Exchange. Following the next steps in the process will be appointment of additional consultants, auditor, legal counsel for Salrom, the advisors on the mineral resources, as well as on the due diligence and the prospectus drafting expected throughout 22 and the first part of 23. And there we aim to finalize the IPO in the first half of 2023. Slide 16, we present some updates on the Enel companies, starting with the second half of 2021. The companies have been struggling with the crisis that hit the entire energy sector following the rapid increase in electricity prices and the introduction of support scheme for the payment of electricity and gas bills between April 22 and March 2023. On the 28th of July this year, Enel published 6 months 22 financial results for the global group, and for the Romania, the group reported an EBITDA figure of negative 51 million for the infrastructure and a network segment, so this is distribution, down from 51 registered in the same period of 2021, and down 115 million for the retail segment, down from a 43 positive in the first half of 21. The electricity distributed was flat at 7.8 terawatt hours, reaching 3.1 million end users in Romania, an increase of 3.3% compared to the first half of 2021 level. Some further notes on the distribution companies. In March and April 22, the companies initiated legal actions against the Romanian government. The Ministry of Finance and the Energy Regulator suffered for damages in 22 by not recognizing the real cost of technological losses and tariffs, or alternatively ordering an unrated issue tariff order that includes the real cost of technological losses to modify unrest tariff setting methodology and plead for unconstitutionality against the provisions of the Ordinance 27 of GEO 27 of 2022. Management estimates there, that's total loans to be contracted by the companies in order to cover current financing needs, mainly related to the HSD acquisition for technological losses, will total at the end of 22 120 million euros for e-distributed Banat, 140 million for e-distributed Montaigne, and 215 million for e-distributed Abrosia. On the supply side, NL Energy and NL Energy Montaigne, the notes are the companies or boards of directors approved in December 21 and March 22, the contracting of a bridge financing program to cover financing needs amounting to 235 million euros for NL Energy and 255 million for NL Energy Montaigne. In August of this year, as the financing needs increased and the banking sector couldn't positively respond in a timely manner, the management identified a solution to be urgently implemented through a shareholder loan through the financing arm of NL Group to the amount of 250 million euros for NL Energy and 125 million for NL Energy Montaigne. So as we can see, the situation for these companies continue to be very, very constrained. Moving on to the corporate action section, I'll ask Marius to comment. Over to you, Marius.
Thank you, Johan. Moving to slide 18, we want to outline the fund's distribution since we started managing the fund. For 2022, the total estimated distribution, excluding the buybacks, the daily buybacks that will be executed until the end of the year, the total so far is 1.788 billion RON, and this amount includes the daily buybacks up until 26th of August, the 325 million shares that we bought back during the tender offer, the last tender offer, and the dividend distribution for financial year 2021, which amounted to 0.125 RON per share as a gross dividend. This brings the total distributions that we've made since we started managing the fund in 2010 to 7.05 billion RON, which is around $4.47 billion. Moving to slide 19, we outlined the latest updates on the fund buyback program. During the annual shareholder meeting, which was held in April, the fund shareholders approved the cancellation of the shares bought back last year, and the cancellation process is currently ongoing. Moving to slide 20, we include the details on the fund's annual net dividends and dividend payout ratios for the top 10 portfolio companies as of the end of July. The total amount for the top 10 holdings has reached 655.3 million RON. This amounts only include the regular annual dividends. The special dividends are also included on slide 21, where you can see a summary of the total dividend income that we've received from the portfolio companies over the last 10 years. The total dividends, both regular and special, to be received by Fondul this year, based on the portfolio company shareholders' approvals, amounts to over 928 million RON. Moving to slides 22 to 26, we present the draft agenda for the Fondul Proprietate Investor Days this year, and I would like to take the opportunity to invite you to the event. This will take place between 14th to the 16th of September in Bucharest. If you're interested to join, please sign up as soon as possible so that the proper arrangements can be made. On the 14th of September, we will have a site visit to the Iron Gates power plant. And then on the 15th, during the first part of the day, we'll have the panel discussions, and the Prime Minister of Romania, Nicolae Ciucă, is confirmed to participate, as well as most of the participants on in the panel discussions as well. So we really hope to see you there, and we'll have the opportunity to have one-on-one meetings as well. Now, I would like to turn it over to Cătălin Cadaru, Head of Financial Reporting, to comment on the fund's financial results. Cătălin?
Thank you, Marius. Hello. On the results of Fondul Proprietatea for the first half of 2022, If we move to the next slide, you can see the main evolution in terms of the balance sheet items related to the equity investment portfolio, and this increase is mainly generated by Hidroelectrica following the devaluations performed during the 6 months period compared to the end of the last year. Also, the dividend receivable that you see at the end of June, also the big amount relates to the special dividends approved by Hidroelectrica, and the payment date is the end of September. If we move to the next slide, you can see the unaudited results for the first 6 months. So Bondul ended the first 6 months of 2022 with an unaudited profit of 4.1 billion. And the main trigger of that was the unrealized gain from revaluation of equity investments. As mentioned previously, the major contributor is Hidroelectrica. The second largest contributor is the growth dividend income, and again, Hidroelectrica, the annual and special dividends from this company are included in this caption. The 188 million gain from other financial instruments relates to the payment made by the Ministry of Finance in the beginning of February for the unpaid share capital that was previously written down to zero. And the last comment is about the realized loss on non-current assets held for sale, and this relates to the disposal of Petrom shares, partial disposal of Petrom shares during January this year. Thank you, Marius.
Thank you, Cătălin. At this point, we would like to open it up for any questions you might have.
At this time, if you'd like to ask a question via the phone line, simply press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star one to ask an audio question. We'll pause for a moment to compile the Q&A roster. We do have a question on the line from Liliana. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, good afternoon. Two questions on my side. First, do you expect this overhaul of the regulations in the energy sector to impact Hidroelectrica, and what could that impact be? And secondly, I've seen that the realized price in the second quarter was lower compared with the first quarter, and I was wondering if you could give us any input why that happened, and what do you see going forward? Thank you.
Hi, Ileana. Yeah, we've as you have heard a number of rumors and ideas regarding the changes that are required in the legislative framework. But unfortunately, at this stage, it is not a public consultation process, so it is impossible to estimate what the impact may be, considering the fact that there is not an actual document that we are able to base our expectations on. What we've obviously said to all the stakeholders in the process that we've been communicating with is that any sort of material changes in the legislative and the regulatory framework at this point in time not only has the prospect of damaging potential IPO or the result of an IPO, will likely, in all likelihood, dent investor confidence in Romania, and specifically in the energy sector. So, obviously, it is a very challenging and a tough environment for the participants in the energy sector, and we are fully aware of that, what our position is that any changes should be carefully considered, analyzed, and debated in public among all participants.
And on the second question, Juliana, so the difference between the average realized price that you pointed out, because in the first quarter, the average realized electricity price was 655 RON per megawatt hour, whereas in the first half, this has decreased to 578, roughly. This is due to the fact that they've sold less electricity, especially in the second quarter, on the balancing market. So this is why there is this decrease.
Once again, to ask a question on the phone line, simply press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We have no further questions on the phone at this time. Okay, we do actually have a question from the line of Deepinder. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks very much for the call, gentlemen. I joined a couple of minutes late, so I apologize if this question from Juliana was already asked, or at least some portion of it, and that's to do with the electricity price increase we saw, which would certainly have a mix of spot and forward change. I'm just curious to know, for the second half of the year, how much of expected production has already been sold forward, and how much is available to be marketed at spot rates, and then just trying to understand also what constraints there might be additionally coming up in the second half on pricing in the spot market. Any new regulatory or other new constraints that we should be anticipating, that the company is anticipating, that we should start thinking of? Thank you.
Hi, Deepinder, and thank you for the question. So the company doesn't disclose the percentage of the electricity which is being sold forward, all we have is the captured average price, which is obviously backward looking. But unfortunately, this is not something that they disclose.
Okay, got it. As to the link in the forward pricing, I just want to understand, has the market for electricity pricing gotten any fragmented here, or what is the benchmark that the company is seeing and following in its pricing on a pan-European basis? Or is there something more local that is now getting developed as a pricing either in the spot or the forward market? Or is there a link? Is there a tighter link? And if so, what is the benchmark that we should be studying?
So here, one benchmark that we internally have been using, and this is something we've disclosed in the past, is the German forward contract. The local market is not developed yet enough to have such benchmarks. Hence, the best one is the German.
Got it. Okay. Just my last question here on the listing itself. Again, if this was already asked, please, we can take it offline at a future time. What appears to be at least a situation where the overseas listing has not been permitted as yet. How is that affecting the listing plans for Hydro from Fondul's point of view? How would you approach this situation to maximize what you think should be the appropriate value of the company, given that from everything that we are reading, it does not seem to be the case that you would be permitted, the company would be permitted to list offshore?
So the answer to that is the next very important step in the process is for the syndicate banks to start working together with us and the advisors on the preparation of the IPO and as you know, one of the first steps will be the reaching out to investors in early look meetings. And gathering feedback from investors and going to their databases of potential investors that they've already spoken with, and taking that feedback, processing it and presenting it to all stakeholders in terms of potential outcomes, potential size of the transaction, potential valuation and differential for the transaction. Let shareholders, in other words, us, I think our position on this is very clear, as well as the majority shareholder, put them in a position where they're making, a decision based on numbers and statistics, generated by the experts in the transaction, and take it from there. So as you pointed out, at the moment the approval is only for a Bucharest listing, but of course that has enabled us to launch the process, engage the advisors, and get the ball rolling. Of course, you know, under this energy environment, it's been progressing a little bit slower than we would have hoped. But we're still moving forward with this. But as I said, I think as you mentioned in the earlier comments, the appointment of the banks that will lead the process to be finalized very shortly. That's the big step.
Great. Thank you very much, and wish you the best for the rest of the year.
Thank you, Plymouth. Appreciate it.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, simply press *1 on your telephone keypad. We do have a question from the line of Liliana. Please go ahead.
Hi. Not a bit reiterated any time. When would the results of the second quarter be reflected in the NAV? Actually, that was for Hidroetica as well. I mean, when would the NAV be updated to reflect second quarter results?
So we're looking at it on a monthly basis, Ileana. So the next time the NAV will be published will be middle of September.
And I'm looking the how would you account for the losses and the significant net debt accumulating at the distribution companies, distribution and supply companies? What's your thinking regarding these stakes?
Really good question. Well, obviously they are in quite I think that's an understatement of the century, in a very difficult financial position due to the delays, the delays embedded in the compensation mechanism. In other words, getting the money from the Romanian government. So when that cash starts flowing, I think the cash flow for these companies obviously improve quite considerably. But in the meantime, as we've shown, the shareholders have had to step in to provide short term financing to address this. In terms of the impact on Fondul, the impact is clearly reflected in the adjustment of the on valuation of the companies. Clearly, in terms of a potential transaction, I think that's anything that's being contemplated under current conditions. So there is absolutely no progress there. I think more at the moment the focus is on the financial stability of the companies.
Thank you.
And again, that is star one for any questions. We have no further phone questions at this time.
Okay. In this case, we would like to thank everyone again for your time today. For any additional questions, please do not hesitate to contact us. As we've pointed out earlier in the call, we will have to see the changes to the energy legislation that will be brought forward by the government. We do know that there have been statements in the media that have pointed at applying windfall taxes for the entire chain. Until now, the traders have been excluded from any type of windfall taxes. Once the legislation is, the changes to the legislation are published, we will be here to answer any questions. So thanks again, everyone, for joining.
That will conclude today's meeting. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect.